Hello, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Listen as travel experts Chris Newton and Jerry Fuller give advice on world destinations and discuss important travel topics that are valuable to any world traveler. Go to www.traveladviceshow.com where you can listen to this show and all previous shows, or even ask your travel questions. Now here are your hosts, Chris and Jerry.
Hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Hi, thank you for listening all around the world, and we appreciate you listening and sending your emails and giving us a call. I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts, and my other co-host, Jerry Fuller. Would you like to introduce our guest and our topic today, Jerry?
I'd love to. I've worked with Aliki for a very long time and with her travel agency to Travel Advice, and we're really excited to have Aliki Weston with us, who is with Carlson Loggingly Travel in Philadelphia. And welcome, Aliki. Thank you very much for being on our show and talking about your home country, Greece.
Thank you for having me.
We'd like to start, first of all, by your impressions of when are the best times and the worst times to go to Greece for the normal traveler, and why?
Greece is beautiful year-round, but most people here in America, when they think of Greece, they think of the antiquities and obviously the Greek islands. And in a parenthesis, they think of the Greek islands as one entity, as if they were all the same, which they aren't. But anyway, if people want to see the antiquities or the islands, the best time to go would be mid-May to mid to late June, and then again in September. The reason why is that July and August are very, very peak seasons. So everything, first of all, is more expensive. But most important is that, especially for people who want to see, to go to Olympia, to Delphi, to tour a little bit, it's probably going to be very, very, very hot. So it's probably better to go a little earlier so that people can enjoy and appreciate the beauty and without having to deal with a terrible heat. Of course, for people who just want to go to an island, any time is good. It's going to be a little bit more expensive in the summertime, July and August, especially the second half of July and all of August. But if they only want to go to the islands, that's a good time too. Having said that, Greece is not just the islands or the antiquities. Athens is beautiful, and I know that a lot of people try to avoid Athens because it is true that it is a very crowded city. It's polluted, but on the other hand, it's still the capital of Greece, and people who go there will see not only the Acropolis but wonderful museums as well as excellent shopping, nightlife, cultural life, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Would you ever recommend anybody going, say, maybe November through March?
Yes, I would recommend that too. First of all, it is cheaper, as I said, not only being in Greece, but also to get a flight from America to Greece, it's certainly cheaper to go in the winter, in off-peak season. The weather can be a problem, but it can be a problem because it can be a little rainy or a little cool. But this is, again, the exception. Usually we have good weather year-round. And it's not going to be beach weather, obviously. It's still winter there. But if you want to go and see the museums and antiquities and the cultural life, it's certainly excellent. And another thing I would like to add here is that there are a lot of people, I believe, who now enjoy cities and both Athens, but also the second largest city in Greece, Thessaloniki in the north, are excellent for this. They have wonderful hotels and a lot to do.
Ari, we were talking about the island. Can you talk about the island? Because, I mean, everyone, just as you mentioned, think of the islands, the famous ones like Mykonos, etc., and maybe even Crete or Rhodes or Santorini. But as you mentioned, the islands are not just, quote-unquote, the islands, because they're really spread out all over the place, aren't they? You want to talk a little bit about the different islands where they're located and some of the reasons you'd go to different ones?
Yes. There are several island complexes, let's say. The best known, perhaps, are the Cyclades, and they're called the Cyclades because they form more or less a circle around the center, which is Delos, the ancient sanctuary of Delos. And they form Delos, I think, in English, and they form a circle around it. Some of those islands, the best known perhaps, are Santorini, Mykonos, Paros, and many other islands. Another complex is the Dodecanese, more to the east, 12 islands, and 12 main islands, I should say. Perhaps the best known is Rhodes. Crete is the largest island in the south, and it is all by itself. There are islands close to the mainland, still in the Aegean Sea, called the Sporades, Stathos, Alonissos, Skopelos, and Styros. And there are islands of the North Aegean Sea, including Mytilene, Chios, and others. And then there are islands to the between Greece and Italy in the Adriatic or Ionian Sea, as we call it. Mm-hmm. And the best known is Corfu, or Kerkyra in Greek. Those islands are quite different from each other. If I was to describe the Cyclades, I would describe them as barren islands and windswept. They have characteristic architecture with the whitewashed houses and arches and narrow alleys in the towns and so on. Not very much vegetation except for maybe a couple of islands. The Dodecanese are varied. There are some which are greener, let's say, than others, more vegetation. But some of them, especially the ones which are closer to the Cyclades, are also quite barren, but very, very beautiful. The islands of the Ionian Sea, the Adriatic Sea, Corfu, and all the rest are lush, and the islands of the North Aegean also the same thing. Crete is an island of its own. You can find everything in Crete. You have beautiful beaches, wonderful towns, antiquities, lush areas, and also more arid, I would say.
How are the accommodations on most of the islands? Can you have a range from, like, budget accommodations all the way to real luxury, you know, kind of,
you know, the
different types of places to stay?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You can find everything from little bed and breakfasts, let's say, to luxury hotels and resorts. The most upscale resorts and hotels are found in the most touristic islands, i.e. Mykonos, Santorini, Rhodes, Crete, Corfu, I would say. On other islands, you find very nice hotels, but not the five stars. And another thing is that there are some resorts in Greece, in the Peloponnese, which is not an island, but anyway, not very nice area, in Crete, especially, that you can have half board, i.e. breakfast and one meal. But there aren't, as far as I know, any which are all inclusive, or very, very few. And there is a reason for that. I think it's because it's so wonderful to go out and explore in Greece. And there are restaurants of all types, from little, very casual, so-called tavernas, which are very, very inexpensive, to obviously to very, very expensive restaurants. And it's very nice to be able to go out and explore.
Let me ask this, Aliki. In the you were talking about going out. Let's talk a little bit about how to go out as far as the transportation. Do you recommend that people, other than downtown Athens, rent a car?
Well, certainly in the cities you don't want a car. It's a hassle. You can't find parking, and the cities are congested and so on. When you are on an island, I would say yes. It is important to have a car. It's much easier to go around. Also, for people who are, let's say, a little more adventurous, you can always rent a motorcycle or a motorbike or something, and that's also fine. Of course, if you want to see the antiquities, again, you can join tours. There are tours that take you to the main antiquities, or again, you can rent a car and you can go on your own. The roads are good, especially on the mainland, and the roads on the islands are good, paved roads everywhere. They're not as wide, they're not highways, but they're certainly safe to drive.
Now, talking about driving, having been to Greece many times, do you want to talk a little bit about do people speak English in Greece? Can you read the street signs? Because I know most people outside of Greece find the language of Greek to read it almost impossible to even recognize anything in it, at least at the beginning. So do you want to talk a minute about Greek, and do people, can you drive okay with the street signs, etc.?
I believe that it's not difficult, because signs are usually in bilingual, in Greek and in English. Sometimes you see some strange translations or transliterations. But I think people can understand. I saw, for example, years ago, I saw a sign when I was in the northern Greece. I saw a sign to Bulgaria. But I guess people can understand.
Go get the pictures quickly. Do many people speak? I know, I love it. Do many people speak, particularly in the areas that most tourists would go, do they speak English or other languages?
Yes, people speak other languages, and especially English. Every kid in Greece goes to language schools starting at age 5 or something. That doesn't mean that they are fluent in English, but certainly to ask a question, to, you know, for directions or simple things, anybody can answer. And they're very, very willing to help and explain. And I think that nobody should have a problem with the language. It's English is widely spoken. And other languages as well, but English especially.
Right. I know it's, I've never had a, well, rarely do you have any problem, and it's almost no problem at all in communicating. And the Greeks are such fabulously friendly people and
yes,
very hospitable.
They are. Yeah.
And like family.
And let me also add that it's not only the signs, the traffic signs, but if you go to a restaurant, even on a small island or, you know, a remote place, you usually find the menu both in English and in Greek. And again, there are some strange things that you will see, like lamb chops, for example.
I know, I just love it.
But,
so.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not that hard to understand.
No, it's very, very good and it's very convenient. The one thing we talked about islands now, and a little bit about transportation, but there are basically three major ways to visit or see or do the islands, and they're the ferry boat, cruises, and flying. Can you talk a little bit about the ferries between the islands or to the islands, and would you recommend them? Why would you recommend them? How long would you stay on one? Would you go like to Rhodes on a ferry, or would you take a cruise that stays like one day in each island, or met some of the islands, or would you just fly?
Okay. Well, one thing I would not recommend is to try to see the Greek islands cruising on a big ship. The big ships are, you know, they have all the entertainment and everything, the food and so on, but you don't enjoy the islands. You don't appreciate them. They usually stay for a few hours on each island. You have a glimpse of each one or some of them, but usually the itineraries are all over the place. They go, let's say they have one stop in Corfu, and then the next stop is in Santorini, and of course it's a long way to go from Corfu to Santorini, and you can't really enjoy them. For people who want to cruise, the advantage, of course, when you are on a cruise is that you can see more than a few islands, more than a couple, let's say, or even more, in a relatively short period of time. For people who do want to cruise, I would certainly recommend smaller cruises, like Star Clippers, for example, that they go to, they have good itineraries and they spend more time on each island. And also there are other little boats or yacht-like cruises that are certainly very nice. One minor problem might be that sometimes the wind in Greece, and especially in late July and August, can be strong, and sometimes these smaller ships are not allowed to sail. Now, there are all the islands are very easily reached by ferries, depending, of course, the position where the islands are located. From for the western part of Greece, the Corfu and the rest of the Ionian islands, it's easy to get by ferry from a western port, from Patra. For the other islands, two ports near Athens, Piraeus and Rafina, And also, of course, from northern Greece, there are other ports that connect northern Greece to some of the islands. But it's easy to take a ferry and go, and the ferries are very good now and very dependable and modern and clean and all that. Of course, it takes time. If you want to go to Santorini with a regular ferry, it takes up to 8 hours, I would say. About five hours to go to Naxos, to Mykonos or to Paros. There are also the high-speed ferries, which are a little more expensive, but they are quite faster, like 2.5 to 3 hours, let's say, to Mykonos, as opposed to 5 or more. And also, people can fly, and a lot of people choose this way of traveling because they don't have that much time, and they want to spend as little time getting to their destination as they can. And there are airports in many islands, not all of them, but many islands have airports. Crete has 2 airports, Rhodes, Kos, Mykonos, Santorini, Paros, Naxos, they all have airports, and people can fly there easily, and the flight is, well, I guess about 50 minutes to Crete and Rhodes, which are the furthest away, and 30 to 35 minutes to other islands.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I should add here that for people who want to go to Greece, they need to understand that transportation by ferry, at least, between islands is also very easy, with some restrictions if you are in the same island complex. Like, if you want to go to the Cyclades, you can very easily go from Mykonos to Paros to Naxos to Santorini. But if you want to go from Mykonos to Corfu, obviously it's not easy. And even to Rhodes sometimes, maybe it's not, they don't have, the transportation is, I mean, it's not so often as it is between the other islands, the same complex. And sometimes it is for people who want to visit islands which are not in the same complex, sometimes they realize that they have to go back to Athens and fly from there or take the ferry or whatever.
Okay. Let me ask this. If you were going to Greece your first time as a visitor, and how long would you recommend a first-time visitor stay, and what would you recommend they do in that time to get a real good view of Greece?
Well, assuming that people want to go to see the antiquities and the islands, and assuming that they are going, let's say, in the late spring to fall, early fall, let's say, end of September, I would say 10 days is the minimum. I would certainly recommend a stay in Athens. As I said, 2 or 3 nights in Athens, in my opinion, is a must. People have to see Athens. It has a lot to offer. And also, they can spend 2 or 3 days on one island and 2 or 3 days on another island, or they can spend a week on an island, or they can take a 7-day cruise or something like that. So, I think that that's the minimum time. Also, people should realize that Greece, the time difference between the east coast of the United States and Greece is 7 hours, 10 hours from the west coast. So, for people who visit Greece, they need to realize that they have to adjust to the jet lag and so on. So they need a little bit longer time if they want to enjoy their stay.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask this. One thing that we also recommend, and if you do recommend it, what we recommend add a week to it. For example, renting a car or taking a tour. We like doing by car, going from Athens, say, maybe up to Kalambakan. And I'd like you to talk about some of these areas, and then maybe coming down to Delphi and over to Olympia and to Macleon. And do you, would you recommend that drive? And if so, why? And would you like to talk about those towns? Because they're probably the most famous, without some people not knowing they're famous, towns in Greece other than Athens.
Exactly. And there are a lot of tours that do just this. They, you can do a 2-day, one night, let's say, 2-day tour from Athens, and you can see, Delphi, and Meteora, which is, the town of Kalambaka, and, Meteora are these very tall cliffs, and on the top of the cliffs are monasteries, and they are really wonderful. From a geological point of view, it's really amazing to see these land formations, and also because the monasteries are built on the top of those huge cliffs. And also there are other tours which are a little longer, take you to Olympia and maybe Epidaurus and Nasplio and Mycenae in the Peloponnese. So there are these 2-, 3-, 4-day tours. And people, if they don't want to do the tour, they can always go by themselves. But unless somebody is really knowledgeable, like archaeologists or students of the classics, or they really have studied, you know, with books and so on to know what they're seeing, it's always better to have somebody to explain to you, a guide, what you are seeing. So I don't know if I would recommend, you know, driving. It's not difficult to drive, but from the point of view of understanding what you are looking at, I think it's better to join a tour or have a private guide take you there. And also, I would like to add that besides those well-known areas in Greece, there are others like Pelio, which is a mountain about 4.5 hours to the north of Athens, and it is a beautiful, beautiful area to visit. It was in the mythology, it was the mountain of the centaurs, and the mountain villages and are wonderful, very, very quaint, and also there are excellent beaches all around, very easy to get to. And that area, for example, is really beautiful and not well known, not visited by many tourists, and especially not by American tourists. Other wonderful places are, again, hill mountain villages on the western part of Greece near Ioannina. That's another city. The western part, and there is a let's say the villages together are called Zagorohoria, and that area is wonderful with excellent stone architecture, really beautiful quaint villages, and also cobblestone paths and so on. They are really wonderful to visit. And again, not many people know about them. And also, I should add that Greece is not just antiquities and beach and islands and so on. There are now opportunities to go rafting. There are opportunities to go hiking, and so on, or horseback riding, even skiing for people who want to go in the winter. So it's something, it's a country that has, it's a very small country. It's the whole area is, I think, smaller than the state of New York. But you can find everything from lush areas to arid areas to cities to villages to beaches to mountains to lakes to rivers to everything. So it's a very varied country, and that's the beauty of it.
I know. Greece is a phenomenal place to visit, and I personally have been there more than 30 times and absolutely love it. And Aliki, we thank you so very much for being our guest today. Would you please let everyone know how they can contact you to ask questions and to book their trip if they would like to Greece?
Sure. First of all, I would like to thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I am very, very happy to speak about Greece. Mm-hmm. It's my country. I love it. And I'm always delighted if anybody calls me and asks me questions about my country. I am a travel agent. I with Carson Wagonly Travel in Philadelphia. The phone number is 215-242-4242. And also I have an email address, which is Aliki, A-L-I-K-I, at yourtrip.com, yourtrip.com.
Well, thank you again, Aliki.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to listen to other great travel advice shows with Chris and Jerry at www.traveladviceshow.com